Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Christian Sentinel Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor, who's our guest today. Also, we have our book on Paula White Heretic in the White House. Thank God she's no longer there. And that book's available on Amazon. And then we have our book on seed faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Can a man bribe God? I don't think so. And our website, propheticnews.com, and our YouTube channel, Susan Puzio. That's out there for your listening and your education in the Word of God. Amen. Also, if you want to contact me, you can contact me by email, susan@propheticnews.com, and I do read my email, so I'd like to hear from you. And we'll bring our guest on here, Jackie.
Hello, Susan.
Hello, Jackie.
Good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's always good to have you. I enjoy our time together, and I know the listeners do too. We always, just imagine now, 11 years I've been doing this program, and there's still something to talk about.
Boy, we should have them in on our telephone conversations, huh?
I know. We should record it for programs because...
I know.
But it's always good to be able to talk to somebody that understands where you're coming from, because sometimes you can talk to people and they think that you really are an alien from another planet.
Oh, well, there's lots of those running around. What do they call them? Walk-ins or something? But
yes,
they're not preaching what we're preaching.
No, that's the thing, is you wonder sometimes where these people are coming from with the things that they believe and the things that they say. And it's so far out. You wonder to yourself, now they're probably around my age. So how did they get so wacky?
It's unbelievable. You know, I got a message this morning wanting to know what to give somebody to talk them out of following Kat Carr. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of things against Kat Carr, you know, the pink haired prophetess lady, you know, who controls the weather. Anyway, and so I said, you know, I don't think there's anything that you could present to such a person who could follow someone that outrageous and false. I mean, they're inoculated against truth. That's what I told the one that inquired. These people are inoculated against truth because they won't look at it, because that would be interfering with their truth, and it would be a touching God's anointed or something. And I really blame a lot of that on Paul Crouch when he was alive, always referring to anyone who questioned any of his guests that they were touching God's anointed and therefore they were heresy hunters. And,
And
there's really no big voices out there that speaking against it. There's, you know, us little people on YouTube and on our, you know, ministry places and stuff, that really they don't have the following of someone like Franklin Graham or Jack Hibbs or something. And so the restraining of this craziness in the church is really not there. There's more people trying to restrain the craziness going on in, you know, in politics. I mean, you know, you got Glenn Beck and, you know, Steven Crowder and, you know, Don Bongino and all these guys that are speaking against the lunacy in the world. But the church, the watchmen in the church have been pretty much silenced.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is, you don't realize at one time when you went to a Baptist church, you knew you were going to hear the gospel. You knew you were going to hear about salvation. You knew it. And their doctrine seemed pretty right on. You were going to probably hear a pretty good sermon. Of course, that was years ago. But then when you hear Franklin Graham telling people to take the vaccine, and then you hear Robert Jeffers saying that, so what if the aborted baby cells were used in a vaccine, if it's for the greater good? So you could see that that kind of new age thinking has crept in to these denominations that you thought at one time maybe were solid.
Yeah, and I come from a Calvary Chapel background, and there's enough issues going on with them because they're playing or doing the so-called worship songs. There's nothing worshipful about them when they're screaming, you know, send the fire down on us, Lord, you know. So I heard from someone who was talking to a major Calvary Chapel's pastor's wife, who says, gosh, I sure miss the days when we could worship. And when she told me that, I said, well, tell her she's in a position to do something about it. And she goes, well, what can she do about it? That's all the songs that are being produced right now.
Get out the hymnals. Dust off those hymnals and get them out. I used to like to sing those songs from the hymnals.
Yeah, why does it have to be today's music in the time of the great apostasy? That's not the time to be adopting those songs, especially when, you know, now again, every now and then they might have a song that you can, you know, honestly sing and worship. But
yeah,
those are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think about that almost every day. I think, why aren't there more people taking a stand for the truth? Why is there so much compromise? Why is it so important to rub shoulders with this person or that person, and to have this kind of fame and that kind of fame, when you're supposed to be bringing to the forefront the real famous one, which is Jesus Christ? And there's not that many courageous people out there anymore. No.
No, and I just think of Jesus' command to preach him. And if the Son be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And people aren't lifting him up, so how can they draw? How can they draw anyone to Jesus when they're using garbage as bait?
Well, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I was looking at this video of Reva Timms, Zachary Timms' ex-wife, and she remarried. So she makes a video of her wedding, and she shows off this big diamond ring that she has. And then at the end of the video, they asked for love gifts. And I'm thinking to myself, they're taking in millions. She's got a pretty big church now, her own church that she started. And she lives in a big house worth over $500,000. It's probably worth much more than that now. And they're asking for love gifts. Use the Cash App for love gifts, but it's crazy. Like, what is wrong with people?
What's wrong? What happened to tent makers? You know, people
what
say,
happened
oh, well,
to living
ministry
by faith? What
yes,
happened to,
yes.
What happened to running your ministry by faith? What happened to that?
Yeah. People will be criticized for having businesses because, well, look, they're no good because they have to do business.
So what?
You know,
and
I'm not talking about Christian business. Yeah. I'd rather make tents than to get money by dishonest means and by fleecing the flock.
To be a beggar, when you're already taking 10% from a couple thousand people in your church and you're getting a large salary, probably over $1 million a year with all your benefits and everything, then you're going to ask for love gifts because you got married? Oh.
They're the ones with all the money. Why don't they show us some love?
Yeah. That's what I say. They always say the word of faith prosperity preachers. They used to say, well, you know, if you don't have any money, then how could you ever be a giver? Just think of how much of a giver you could be if God starts blessing you with money. But you don't see them. No, you don't see them. They just keep asking for the cash. They never have enough, but that's how greed is. And so you could see why the church has basically been turned over to fables, because we don't have enough people with courage to say, no, I'm not buying Paula White, and I'm not buying Benny Hinn. And Matt Crouch last night, I'm looking at TBN, what are they doing? They're collecting, they want you to leave them money in your will, and they want your IRA, and you got to leave money for TBN so TBN could go on, when TBN's got over $1 billion worth of cash and assets. You know, it was disgusting.
Well, and you know, and the world sees through it. They see those things going on Christian television, and so that is their view of Christianity, is what they see on Christian television, and so that's just another one of those big divisions on the planet where everybody's hating each other, and so Christianity.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they hate Christians because they see people like Matt and Lori with their hypocrisy saying that when they got, you know, $1 billion in assets.
Yeah, and the thing is, instead of saying to people, look, we don't need any more money. We have plenty of money. Take your money and give it to a ministry that needs it, or give it to your kids or whatever. He's saying, well, we took in a race car, and we took in this lady's jewelry collection. We take all kinds of stuff. And that's it.
Depriving their children, their heirs, you know, and that's robbing. That's robbery. And you wonder, after Pat Robertson sold the CBN network, the Christian network, for, you know, multi-millions, if not billions of dollars, and he got all that money, he's still spending time on the 700 Club begging for money.
They take in, I looked at their 990, and if anybody wants to look at 990 forms, there's a 990 finder on the internet. They take in over $300 million a year. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah.
And they live like kings.
And they live like kings, and he's got that, he put that money in for his university for an endowment, I think, $2 billion. So, yeah, they take in donations, then he sells the network. And then he funds his university, and then they're still asking for money. And what do they do, really? They're on television an hour a day, and they pass out food once in a while. But what are they doing with all that money?
Wow. Well, I'm not hearing a lot of gospel coming from them and asking people to come to Jesus and to repent of their sins and to live for Jesus and to love him and forsake the things of the world. You know, you'll never hear those things.
Well, we need to hear more of it. I'm just praying that God will raise up more voices, and that no matter what you have to do to earn a living, if you have to give up your ministry and separate yourself from these heretics, it's worth it to do it and to let God bless you to start all over again, no matter what you have to do. I know people used to say, well, back in the day when you had a podcast, well, of course, it's internet radio, really, is really what it is, but they call it a podcast. So people used to say, you have a podcast? Yeah, I have a podcast, yeah. So, but nowadays, everybody's got a podcast. So now all the famous people have podcasts, but they used to look down on you because you had a podcast.
Yeah, until they realized that everybody was turning off Christian television and all television and just going onto the internet. That's true.
that's it. So,
this is the marketplace of today.
Yeah, it is the marketplace, but it was a form of snobbery. Yeah. Well, you got a podcast. Yeah, and I'm free to say whatever I want too. I'm not beholden to anybody. And I don't do it to get invitations, and I don't do it to get offerings. You know, whether God blesses me, if people want to bless the ministry, that's up to them. But we're going to preach and we're going to tell the truth no matter what it costs, no matter what.
I know. And we'll use whatever means we have. And,
even if we have to have a podcast,
even so, and maybe, you know, and certainly we're never going to get a million followers because we're not the type of voices that are going to appeal to the masses, because the masses are really, they're all deceived for the most part, and they're following after the ways of the world, and they're turning their ears away from the truth and turning to unrighteousness. And that's the way the world is. And if the world loves you, then look out. But the world isn't going to tune into us. And those in the church are not following after voices of truth. They're following after fables. They're turning on Sid Roth.
Yes. Oh, he's got a lot of followers. And even Benny Hinn, if you look at his YouTube channel, he has a lot of subscribers on his YouTube channel. You say to yourself, what do they see in Benny Hinn? Like, when do you get tired? When do you get tired of being ripped off by these people? When do you say, I've had enough? I've had enough of seed sowing. I've had enough of giving my 10%. And I'm still not blessed. I think I've had enough. When are these people going to have enough? No. They still follow after
like you
these
said,
people.
They can't bribe God, right?
No, they can't. Yeah, you hope that they're going to wake up one day and they're going to realize it. And they're going to say, that's it. I'm finished with these people. And all I want is Jesus. And all I want is the truth. Even if I have to lose every friend I have. Even if my mother-in-law gets mad at me or whatever.
Oh, it'll cost you, because there is a high cost for following Jesus. Like he said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And that's really what it comes down to. But, you know, the popular ones now in our culture are, you know, the people like Lance Wall now, or like you mentioned, Franklin Graham. And and even Paula White. How popular is she? Have you checked to see how many followers she has?
Well, I don't believe that her numbers, because she likes to say, sometimes I do check, and she claims that there's probably millions of people that watch her broadcast every Sunday, like on the internet, on Facebook and on Instagram or whatever. When I go to YouTube, sometimes there's only like 30 people watching the thing, the live church service. And even if you go to Facebook, there's not that many people watching. So I'm thinking, where's she getting these numbers from? I don't believe, I've heard that they can buy followers, they can buy numbers. So, yeah, but she is popular. She is popular in some circles, which I can't figure it out either. I'm like, when are you going to wake up? Like, what is wrong with people? How many
people
are they?
But she was put in that top position by the president of the United States. So if he couldn't see through her, how do you expect others to, you know?
Well, that's it. He gave her credibility, and it's been a shame. But anyway, let's look at a couple scriptures here about, I have a couple scriptures here about the fables. Titus 1:14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. 1 Timothy 1:4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. 2 Timothy 4:4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Professing to be wise, they became fools.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the culture, that everybody has to abide by their own truth. We were just talking before we came on the air about the New Age Creed. And it's at a webpage called wethe1people.com. And just looking through their creed, you can see where the church has even picked up some of these points, like live your life with joy and with the spontaneity and delight of a child, and enjoy the journey of life and strive to fulfill your earthly mission to the best of your ability. Yeah, well, that sounds good. But then it goes on, practice non-judgment and look for the God, yeah. for the good. Look for the good in everyone.
Yeah.
And your goal is to return to balance in body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
And seek and claim your highest truth, and then live your truth with integrity. Allow others the same right.
Yeah.
You know, and so it turns on. Now, the final thing in this, you'll all have to look it up with looking up wethe1people.com, and it's called the New Age Creed. But here's their thing that they end it on. Each day, call on your mighty I Am presence to overlight, guide, and direct you. Then listen to its inner nudgings. Call upon the mighty angels of forgiveness and the violet flame at the end of each day to balance, harmonize, and transmute any discordant energy you have projected that day, thereby rendering it harmless, which moves you beyond the laws of cause and effect and into a state of grace. That's their prayer, you know, and it, you know, it seems like this so-called enlightenment is what they're all talking about, enlightenment. And that's the last thing that they're getting, because it's looking for enlightenment in all the wrong places. And they're not finding it. And they're in this is why they keep talking about, oh, hunger. Are you hungry? You hear that a lot. You have to be hungry. Well, I was hungry, and that's when I came to Jesus. And then he says that you will no longer hunger or thirst when you come to him. You know, well, if you're done with the quest, rest from the quest. When you're done with the quest, you're no longer hungry. You're satisfied. And when people are continuing to search, then I remember back in the day, we had those bumper stickers all over the place that said, I found it.
Yeah.
Well, I could say that, but then why are you still seeking if you have found it? Now you abide in him. You're no longer
yeah.
seeking. You've come to the end of that quest. You have found Jesus, and then you abide in him. But the ones who are still thirsting and hungering haven't found it, because that thirst and hunger hasn't been satisfied.
Oh, that's
so,
very true. Very, very true. Because when we came to Jesus, and you knew that, that's it. My quest is over. I found the
right.
truth. So I'm not searching anymore. Yeah, that was definitely in the forefront of my mind. And it still is. I think, well, no, I can rest now because I found the truth. But you can see that the false prophets and the false teachers and these people, they're still seeking after, they have to go running after a sign and a wonder and this, the latest thing. And yeah, they're not abiding in Christ.
No, they're not satisfied.
No.
He's not enough. But then again, perhaps the reason he's not enough is these people who are doing this haven't really found the true Jesus. They've latched
yeah.
onto another Jesus. And that
yeah.
with that Jesus, it's always, you know, you're still on that hamster wheel. You still look
yeah.
at it and go, and there's no satisfaction, and there's no peace, and there's no contentment. And so then they work on their hearers' discontentment, and then they lure them in with the, you know, with this false bait of, oh, come here, and this will be the thing that satisfies that hunger. Well, that's, you know, that's one way you can really discern when these people are speaking amiss, is when they're acting like, or they teach that this is the next greatest thing, and, you know,
yeah.
this will do it for you. And it's
well,
a,
yeah, because
it's a
people were running
quest.
To Toronto, they were running to Lakeland, they were
mm-hmm.
running all over to Pensacola, and chasing after the new thing and trying to get the anointing. And Yeah. So it's still happening even more today with, like you said, the poor lady that's chasing after Kat Kerr. Well, she's not alone.
Yeah, you know, I looked it up in my online concordance, John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst."
Yeah.
So if you have come to him and you're still craving something, then you haven't had that hunger satisfied.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's really sad because, you know, there's a lot of people who really it's their bodily appetites that are hungering. It's but it's nice to have that. You know, I didn't post that thing in the day because it was in the 70s that I was seeing that I found it sticker all over the place. And by the time I came to Jesus in 81, and that was no longer the thing. You couldn't buy these. I found it. And I remember my cousin, she had one of those on her bumper sticker. And I, you know, what did you find? I teased her and ridiculed her. But, you know, maybe I should have because she ended up being a Quaker.
Well, the thing is, I found it. You found what? What did you find? So that was nice. You had that bumper sticker, but what did you find?
Oh, I can never get an answer.
Yeah, exactly. What was it that you found? Tell me, because I'm scratching my head over here. At least when I put the bumper stickers on, I was telling people to turn your life over to Jesus. I had a message about Jesus on my bumper sticker.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Remember that we would put those little fish on our bumpers. And then the atheists responded with putting
Jesus.
Yes. And so that too. But remember the atheists responded by putting the fish with a bunch of feet on it to demonstrate evolution, that the fish grew feet and walked out of the ocean.
Yeah. Well, I would tell people. Now, when I was growing up, of course, the first year I went to college, and that was many years ago, 50 or something years ago, but I never knew I came from an ape, because when I went to high school, they didn't teach that you came from an ape. Even my health teacher told us to be virgins when we got married. Imagine that. My health teacher. Yeah. And so... Then when I got to college and I took a biology class, they told me that I came from an ape. That was the first time I ever heard that. And now I tell people, look, if you want to believe you came from an ape, I believe it. But I don't. No, I didn't come from an ape. I'm created in the image and likeness of God. So where do they get the things that people believe? Why would you want to believe that you came from an ape?
Well, see, that was the beginning of evolution. And you know, the study of evolution that people evolved and now become the new age, part of the new age creed is that we're continuing to evolve. And pretty soon we'll be more like our space brothers who planted us here in the first place as we evolved, and they're helping us evolve towards this new man, this new creature. We're going to have an evolutionary leap and all of that. And so they've taken evolution into a spiritual plane so that you can evolve spiritually and become enlightened. And they have all of these tricks to get there, you know, such as meditation and altered states of consciousness and all of that. And so it's strange the way all these, you know, it started off as something you learned in school, and then it was taken to this degree that we see it today. And,
you know. It's crazy today when you think about it. And if you watch some of the TV preachers, a lot of them do a lot of finger snapping when they're talking to people, which always reminds me of hypnotists, because hypnotists like to do the finger snapping to hypnotize people. So I wonder how many of these people have studied these hypnotic techniques to draw people in, because some of these people are not appealing. They're not charismatic. They're not. Some of them are not even very good public speakers, but yet they have followings. Benny Hinn is one of the worst public speakers, and he has no charisma at all. and yet people follow him.
Well, I don't know. I've seen him in person, and I've talked to others who have too that can see that there is some animal magnetism in him. I have talked to people who have had close up, and I mean, not exactly close up, but I've talked about this before, about going to one of his crusades and being guided around by his handlers and everything and being put in the front row and stuff. But I could see his appeal. The ones I can't see the appeal to, and is one that died recently, and that's Ernest Angley. I mean, and Morris Cirillo. What about Morris Cirillo
terrible.
And Ernest Angley? They're worse than Robert Tilton.
Oh, well, yeah, at least Robert Tilton, back in the day, he had some appeal back in the 80s and when he was first starting out. And if you read the book of his life, and how God raised him up and all that, it was a good story. But Morris Cirillo, yeah, he was horrible. And Ernest Angley, such a pervert. He belonged in jail, Ernest Angley. Why he didn't get arrested for molesting people and doing the things that he did to his church members, which I won't go into right now. It's so disgusting to even talk about it. The guy belonged in jail. And
yeah, he was a criminal.
He was a criminal. Why he didn't get arrested? Why these people in the world, in the natural, if you have a Ponzi scheme, which most of these preachers have, is give me money and you get money. And it's always the person at the top that gets the most money. You go to jail for Ponzi schemes. I don't understand how these preachers get away with it and they don't wind up in jail for what they're doing.
Well, you know, more of that is probably going to happen as there's less and less Christian opposition. I mean, the voice of even nominal Christianity is losing any voice in the society at all. And, you know, and that's because they don't want to hear anything that the Bible has to say. And people are being ministers who do even open up the first chapter of Romans are being hauled off the pulpits and taken to jail in places in Europe and Canada, you know, because of the protected class of the, particularly the trannies, you know, that you have to respect their truth. It doesn't matter what anybody's truth is, as that New Age creed said, you better demand respect of your beliefs, whether it's nice or not, it doesn't, or even true or not, it doesn't matter. You can't insult somebody else's beliefs. And that's where the world is, and that's where the church is.
Well, that's where the church is, exactly, because they don't want you to touch God's anointed. A friend of mine was playing a clip on his radio program about Benny Hinn saying that Kenneth Copeland got sick and he had to come to Benny Hinn and repent and say, Benny, I got sick. And Benny said, well, how come you got sick? And he said, because I was saying things about you and I was touching God's anointed. And the Lord told me, don't talk about Benny.
Boy, because Benny is in among certain circles by other preachers. He is considered the top of the scale, you know. In fact, I have a clip. I think I played it in one of my YouTube videos. It was from some 20 years ago. Rodney Howard Brown going on Benny Hinn's show and talking about how when Benny wasn't around, he sat in his chair and he pretended to be Benny and he started, you know, kind of mocking Benny. And then God corrected him that he better not mock him and imitate him and everything, or, you know, he was in trouble. And so he had to apologize to Benny. So, I mean,
the thing is, they're so stupid. The thing is, they're so stupid. They're such biblical illiterates that they don't even know what it means when the Bible says touch God's anointed. It means don't punch him in the face or don't knock him out. It just has nothing to do with rebuke and chasten and to do it openly. A heretic after the first and second admonition reject. So
right, right.
They're such biblical illiterates, it's pitiful.
But there's honor among thieves, I guess. And so
that's a good way to put it.
And the thing is that they have to, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, because they need one another to build each other up.
Well, that's it. Because when you're in the Word of Faith ministries, or you're in those traveling in those circles, you have to play the game, because I could never talk like this and then be invited to go and preach in some of these churches. Never. No, you can't. You have. It's like Hollywood. When you listen to people in Hollywood, they always say they're like the Manchurian Candidate, where the Manchurian Candidate says, "Yes, he was the most wonderful, kindest person I ever knew in my life." Well, they all say that about each other. Oh, that actor is wonderful, and what a pleasure working with him. Well, the same thing in these circles, these so-called ministry circles. No, you can't say anything, because you won't get invitations. You won't get offerings. And
right.
Why are they in the ministry? Why are people even in the ministry if they're not in it for promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and promoting Jesus? Why do they even bother?
Well, you see, that simple message just isn't doesn't get enough listeners.
Yeah.
And so they have to expand on it to make it more interesting. And so they have to have their gimmicks or something, you know, they have to have their, you know, gold digger dancers on stage or something just to appeal
to. Doesn't it remind you of that? You see the dancers up there. There was even one guy that brought the theme song for the church service, I think it was a Sunday morning service, was Roller Coaster of Love. And he actually spent people's tithes and offerings on bringing in a miniature roller coaster onto the platform. Yeah. And then the people were singing Roller Coaster, and the dancing girls were up there. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'm old fashioned, I don't know, but I like to see a woman in a dress when she's up doing the worship service, a modest dress. I like to see modest clothes, and I like to see the preacher dressed, and I like to see a man in a suit. And
sure,
right? I like to see.
Well, yeah,
is that old fashioned?
It's respectful.
Yeah, it's respectful. So I look at these people now, and everybody's dressed weird up there, and this is supposed to be the church service, and I don't know. I don't get it. I don't like it. No.
I know. I saw a picture of Stephen Furtick the other day, whose pants were so tight they looked like they were painted on. And you wonder, how can he even walk in something like that?
And he's steroided out, too, because
he
used to be skinny, like this little skinny thing. Now he's got, you could tell he's probably full of steroids.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he just does a lot of exercise. But, you know, he has the time, since he's breaking in the money. He doesn't have to make a living.
I think he built a $10 million house or something like that. So. Anyway, let's play this. I want to play this, Jackie, because I think it got so interesting as we had talked about this whole UFO phenomenon. And then the fables and the mythology, and looking into it, and then you could see how popular this whole thing is. But let's play this thing from the Vatican, because they've been talking a lot about this, and we had talked about this, how it all really goes back and to the Catholic Church.
Sure.
The Vatican. Vatican City, Italy. In the 17th century, Pope Paul V ordered select documents of the Catholic Church moved from the Vatican Library and closed to outsiders until 1881. Today, the Vatican's secret archives are closely guarded, and some researchers believe they contain revelations so explosive that they threaten the doctrine of the Catholic Church. You have to wonder if the secret library at the Vatican, which they acknowledge exists, doesn't have records or chronicles about extraterrestrial contacts that the Catholic Church has recorded and knows happened.
but is keeping a secret. Might the Vatican secret archives contain the details of messages Giordano Bruno may have received from extraterrestrials? Information that supports his pronouncements about the universe.
When we look at certain specific examples, like Giordani Bruno, we know that there was so more to it than this. The Vatican archives, whenever they're going to be opened, are going to reveal extraordinary levels of detail.
According to researchers, the Vatican secret archives holds hidden evidence connected to the miracle of Fatima. It was here in 1917 that three children claimed to have received messages from what some Catholic theologians believe was the Virgin Mary.
In Fatima, children saw an apparition they said was the Virgin Mary. And 70,000 people came to the same sheep pasture. And people said that they saw a spinning silver disc. The Catholic Church, for a very long time, would not acknowledge what was happening with the children or Fatima.
The extraterrestrials give to the children a telepathic message saying, "You are not alone on this planet. We are here. We have been here some thousands of years ago. We observe you. Please prepare mankind that we will return again." All this story of Fatima went to the Vatican.
But is it possible, as ancient astronaut theorists contend, that the Catholic Church censored the messages that were received in Fatima?
The kids were given three messages, and the Pope refused to release the third message.
The third message apparently talks about extraterrestrial life. Now that is sensational, because to me, to deny the revelation of that particular message, and that is exactly what the Pope did. And I wonder why.
Some contend that the miracle of Fatima is one of many events that describe visitations from extraterrestrial messengers. Researchers also point to the voices described by Joan of Arc, visions received in Lourdes by Bernadette Soubirous, and countless stories depicted in the Hebrew Bible, in which similar events are described. Perhaps the Vatican knows far more about life in the universe than they have acknowledged. But does a belief in alien life question the omnipotence of a supreme being?
Of course the Vatican knows about extraterrestrial life, but to suggest that because extraterrestrials exist, that means there is no God is total nonsense.
Well, that was jam-packed.
Well, you know, like we had spoken earlier, you were talking about the Pope having this, what do you call those things, the observatories and everything?
Yeah.
That they're looking
for
something.
In Arizona, there's one, yeah.
Yeah, in my late husband's book, UFOs in the New Age, I put that in, and when I was editing it, this was back in 92, I believe, that some of the descriptions of Fatima, of this so-called Mary showing up, that they didn't see her, but they saw what looked like this ball of light that was glowing like different colors, you know, bright and then blue, and that it was coming down. And in that book helped write, I put that it was similar to the way Glinda the Good Witch showed up in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, which was written by occultists.
Yeah, and that was just the way that she arrived in Fatima. And, of course, we know that those are angels of light. And that's the whole thing, that we're seeing so much UFO sightings and things like that going on today. They're super duper on the increase. And I think it's just because the powers that be, that control this earth, the devil, the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, he and his minions are just gearing up for what they know is their final stand. And they're gonna fail. They're gonna lose. We know that. But they are out to deceive, and many people, including myself, have theorized that the UFO deception, that these are aliens visiting from some other space and place, and they came here to help us so that we don't annihilate ourselves, that they're actually our older brothers from another planet who are checking on us and making sure we don't annihilate ourselves. That is going to be part of the great deception of the end times, that those who have not a love for the truth will be given over to believe the lie. And what is the lie? I agree with many others, some that I don't agree with on other things, but who recognize that the lie that was being set up is the space brothers are from another planet, and or even from another dimension. They'll even say that they bend space and time and warp into our atmosphere.
Sounds like the Twilight Zone. That's what he used to say. You're entering into another dimension.
Right.
Time.
Dimension of, exactly. Time and space, and they bend space. Now, another one of my husband's books is called UFO Cult and the New Millennium, and he wrote this at the end of the 90s.
Look back, because they're very relevant now.
Yeah, this one was copyright 1998, published by Baker Books. But let me just read this paragraph on page 71. He's talking about, what is this guy's first name? I think it's Brad Steiger, one of these guys who are, that get their messages from beyond. And he writes, some UFO cults use biblical imagery to this coming time of troubles or the landing of the Space Brothers to usher in a new age. Okay, see, because the Space Brothers messages that are getting to people through channeling and so-called abductions are trying to take Bible prophecy and use it for themselves, okay? This is big. So they see this time of trouble and then it's going to launch the new age. So Steiger, speaking of this guy, Steiger explains that after the Space Brothers come and usher in the new golden era, the planet will become Christed, meaning that peace, goodwill, and prosperity will finally envelop the planet. Other UFO enthusiasts say this coming period will be the age of the quote-unquote Holy Spirit. Some refer to the time of troubles coming as the tribulation and even as Armageddon, both of which are mentioned in the Bible's book of Revelation. So he's showing how in this book, UFO Cults in the New Millennium, how so many cults have formed because of, their belief in the Space Brothers and everything. And but again, he posts back on page 53, he says, put it simply, in many ways, theosophy was the predecessor of what was to sweep the world in the late 20th century under the umbrella designation of the New Age movement. The Theosophical Society was founded by Spiritist Helena Petrovna Blavatsky in 1876 and later broke off into four prongs during the 20th century. And, these different groups and these different mind science so-called churches, including the Unity School of Christianity. And so these were pretty much UFO cults in the first place that they, and I think we talked about this the other day, including Mormonism.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I actually have audio about that pertains to Hitler, but go ahead and finish this and I'll play that.
Okay. Well, I was just saying Mormonism is a UFO cult itself. And in that they believe that, that we were all just spirit babies that were sent here from, Elohim, from the planet of Kolob. And I was telling you that Kolob is the name of a town in the state of Utah. And, the Book of Mormon, I think was that what they called it? That the guys who did South Park ended up doing that whole musical on the Book of Mormon, that it absolutely was showing the true genesis of Mormonism. And it was these different ways of channeling these space brothers. And that's just what they were. And the space brothers from Kolob, that they would stick their head in the hat and with the stones and translate into the Book of Mormon anyway. That is a UFO cult. And there's plenty of them, but this whole, a lot of things go back to theosophy and the very things that these occultists, you know, 100, 200 years ago were getting through seances and channeling. Those are the same messages that come through with these people today who are claiming to be speaking through and channeling the Space Brothers. So it's the same occultism repackaged to appeal to our, you know, modern mind. And it's the same exact things that were happening then when they were supposed to be spirits and now they're aliens. But anyway, that's just the way, the place that we are today. And these things are being picked up by, yeah, that's it.
Because there's so much talk about it recently. And I had a clip, I guess I didn't load it up from YouTube where this, but it was on one of the news sites there about this observatory that the Vatican has. And one of the astronomers, they're all Jesuits. And the Jesuit astronomer, of course, one of them says, why wouldn't there be other life on other planets? Why would we think we're the only ones? And so the Catholic Church has been putting this out for a long time, but they're all these cults, like you said, and the Mormons with their beliefs, their funny beliefs. And of course the Nazis were big on this too. I'm going to play this audio about Hitler and.
But on the brink of World War II, Hitler is also involved in much stranger endeavors that are hidden to the public. He is committing every remaining resource to searching for ancient relics that he believes could hold incredible powers. On December 17th, the German freighter MS Schwabenland sets out on one of these top secret missions. Its 33-member team is rumored to include scientists, military experts, construction crews, and key members of the Thule Society, an elite group associated with the Nazis that focused on mysticism and the occult. 32 days later, they arrive at their destination, Antarctica.
The Nazis themselves were fascinated by ancient civilizations and legends of vanished super races. They were searching for this lost Arctic home that they thought that the Aryans had come from. They were looking all over the world, and that included Antarctica. The Thule Society actually believed that there were mystics or channels who were able to communicate with these beings who claimed to be either extraterrestrial in origin or claimed to belong to this civilization that lived in Earth's interior. They gave a lot of information about the building of advanced aerospace vehicles, flying saucers, and I think this is where Hitler's Nazi party got a lot of its information about Antarctica, that in Antarctica there is this ancient civilization or bases where they could find a lot of these advanced technologies.
During their time in Antarctica, the Nazis were believed to have mapped huge swaths of the icy landscape by air. Ancient astronaut theorists believe they also established an elaborate underground headquarters known as Base 211.
Hitler and the Nazis were particularly interested in Antarctica. I think they really believed that there were things going on deep under the ice. And there have always been rumors that the Nazis, with their submarines, have underwater caverns, small cities, that they escaped there after World War II.
When the Germans got to Antarctica, what they found were massive cities that were highly technological. And these buildings were not just on the surface, they went deep down underground. So they began relocating a massive amount of equipment and personnel to Antarctica, repressurizing these ancient facilities and reoccupying them.
In 1946, 1 year after the end of World War II, the U.S. government launched its own large-scale mission to Antarctica. Operation High Jump deployed 4,700 troops, 13 ships, an aircraft carrier, and a number of seaplanes to Antarctica. Although the government denied it at the time, it would later become known that one of the operation's primary objectives was, quote, extending the United States sovereignty over the largest practicable area of the Antarctic continent.
So, did you ever hear anything like that, Jackie?
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of theories about what's going on in Antarctica. There's been some snow melt and stuff there recently, and some of the ufologists that are watching things are seeing buildings and looks like big facilities and stuff that were under the ice that are popping up because of snow melt. And, you know, as I was listening to that, I was recalling during the 2016 election, when Trump won, John Kerry was in Antarctica at that time. It's interesting that at the 2016 election, that's where John Kerry was. And then in the 2020 election, he was in Iran. Now, we can make up a conspiracy theory over that, but that is kind of strange that he isn't around during election time, but he's off looking at all these strange places with, cohorting with our enemy and that sort of thing. So, you know, there's plenty of conspiracy theories to go around, and conspiracy theories kind of show up when there's no explanation to things that you're actually seeing. Because when the things you're actually seeing doesn't make sense and there's no reasonable answer to them, then your imaginations can get going crazy and start imagining and putting two and two together and speculating. And there's a lot of speculation. And some of these conspiracy theories end up coming out in the open, you know, like the globalist agenda. Oh, that was supposed to be, oh, there was no real push for globalism. No, no, no. And now all of a sudden everybody's for globalism.
Yeah.
The World Economic Forum's come out in the open. Well, they've been pushing everything and the so-called climate change stuff towards that all along, but now they're out in the open with it. So that's one of those that was called a conspiracy theory until past 10 years. So, you know, there is something to it. And again, a lot of this stuff that's showing up now, not only in Antarctica, but also on the moon and on Mars. That's the latest thing.
Yeah, that's the latest thing is Mars, yeah.
Yeah, so they're seeing artifacts that they can't explain. They don't have the history to explain the artifacts that they're finding on the moon, on Mars, and in Antarctica. And so I really can see where all of this stuff is going to come together to bring credibility to the antiquity or the ancientness of these so-called space brothers, and the possibility that they will point to the man who of their choosing who's going to fix everything, and we know who that's going to be.
Yeah.
So, but you see, they have to give hard evidence. All of a sudden, they're coming, you know, like Tucker Carlson's talking about all of these things, and so are they going to bring
yeah,
this
he
all
brings
together?
It on his show, yeah.
Yeah, so are they trying to paint a new historical scenario that defies our history books, you see, to
oh, yeah, they're
rewriting
history.
Yeah, we're supposed to be convinced of something, okay? And so they're letting it out bit by bit to convince us of something. And we can speculate what that might be. I can't help thinking about the timing with everything else going on, that the Antichrist fits in there somewhere. A lot of people will say, well, what if he's an alien? I think he's more like not the alien, but the man the aliens direct everyone to, who is under their, I wouldn't say control, but he's getting direction from them.
Yeah.
And he may well be, but they're fallen angels. they aren't our space brothers and the progenitors of our race, okay?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you talked about Blavatsky, and of course the Nazis were big on Blavatsky. Hitler was an occultist, and so they were always looking for this lost continent. I guess why they went there to Antarctica to find these ancient cities. And,
yeah, Atlantis.
Yeah. So it was they were very wicked and evil. And so you could see what's going on now. Why are they trying to play up this whole, UFOs? And even somebody like Tucker Carlson bringing people on his show to talk about the sightings that have been happening. And then then Obama chimes in to say how interested he was in these UFOs and these things that were going on. So, yeah, there's a big push. There's been a big push over the last month or so, especially.
It's the Twilight Zone worldview that they want everyone to accept. They want to normalize it as the as being normal. So when these demons actually, they won't totally manifest, but they will have their spokesperson speaking of them and pointing to the lights in the sky, such as the sign that was given in 1917 at Fatima in Portugal. You know, there's the sign. That's what they're going to give us, these lying signs and wonders. And then by means of those, it's going to give credibility to who is speaking that and saying that I have direct help from these space brothers that, you know, were our ancestors. And so it's this entire new paradigm shift into this thinking, and it totally eradicates Christianity and Judaism. It eradicates the Bible. It's a whole new theory. Even evolution doesn't quite cut it anymore. This goes beyond that, and it is a UFO belief system that looks to be gaining credibility, especially when now it's going mainstream, and they're going to turn up the heat bit by bit until we're all cooking.
Well, you see that there's been such a radical shift even in the last few months in the way they want people to think. And the propaganda, I never saw so much propaganda in all my life. And it's like, it's going to be harder for people to know the truth, especially if they're listening to television or you're on the internet a lot and there's so many voices out there. And so that's why we're seeing such a great divide, I think.
Yeah, and they're going to need the Pope's help, okay, in order to get Christians to settle down about this. That's why you were mentioning earlier, where's the Vatican and all of that fit in? He's looked up to be the leader of the Christian world, thereby which he can somehow bring this new worldview into compatibility with the faith.
Yeah. They're
going to need him.
Audios. Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. He's the big kahuna. So what they say is the Christian world, which of course we know the Catholic Church is not Christian, but
no.
They supposedly have them. Yeah, they have the most followers, or so they say they do anyway, but here we go.
All right, we're just going to finish up here just a little bit more, and Catherine Emmerich. Then I saw, she says, the connection between the two popes and the two temples. I am sorry that I have forgotten the numbers, but I was shown how weak the one had been in adherence and human support, but how strong in courage to overturn so many gods, I knew the number, and to unite so many different forms of worship into one. And on the contrary, how strong in numbers and yet how irresolute in action was the other, since in authorizing the erection of false temples, he had allowed the only true God, the only true religion, to be lost among so many false gods and false religions. So a few conclusions here. It seems that first of all, the vision of the two popes happens on May 13th. Guys, that's important. When we're talking about the first secret of Fatima, the second secret of Fatima, and the third secret of Fatima, we need to realize that the third secret of Fatima is about the Pope. Lucia says that. Everyone who's read the full secret, 3A and 3B, everyone who's seen it said it's about the Pope. Even what we have in 3A, we see a bishop in white. She says we assumed he was the Pope, and he gets shot down. So we know that ultimately Fatima culminates in something with regard to the Pope. And yet, oddly enough, almost 100 years before the vision of Our Lady of Fatima on May 13th, this great stigmatist and mystic has a vision of two popes. Good Pope and bad Pope. What does that tell me? If this is legit, though, it's telling us, with in conjunction with May 13th, that there is a bad Pope. There is a bad Pope, and this bad Pope oversees idolatry. None of us would have thought this 10 years ago, but now we have seen Pachamamas in St. Peter's, plants, potted plants called Pachamama on the altar in the presence of the Vicar of Christ. This is apocalyptic. This is evil. This is bad. So we're now in a scenario where we have a Pope allowing idolatry in the churches. Also notable, I noticed this when I was in Rome, and I mentioned it before, Pope Francis moved the altar in the Pantheon. Call me crazy, I think that's significant. Because Anne Catherine says that the Pope, Boniface IV, purposely put the altar against the wall so that it wouldn't have any semblance of paganism. And now we have that altar creeping off that wall. This is just in the last couple years, folks. This is all new. It's all unfolding.
It's all unfolding. Now, that was Taylor Marshall. Yes. Now, that's a Catholic speaking, okay?
Yeah.
He wrote the book Infiltration, Taylor Marshall. And, you know, yeah. But you see, these two popes, because, of course, you've got Benedict XVI alive at the same time as Francis, and one's good, one's bad. And this all came from a 19th century stigmatist. Again, Catherine Emmerich or Anne Catherine Emmerich. It's funny, I was looking at it up on her story online, and I didn't realize that her stigmata was there was the shape of a cross on her breastbone. It had the unusual shape of a Y, similar to a cross in the local church of Coesfeld, England, I guess, that there were impressions of the stigmata in the shape of a Y on the chest. I'd be asking the same question, why? that really doesn't make any sense. But certainly this person that they're alluding to making these predictions, just even if they're true that there would someday be two popes, what difference does that make? And if there is it just a clue that the spirit of Antichrist and the demons give these people a little preview just to try to whet their appetite about it, you see? And just because something might look like it really happened, that doesn't make this person one to follow, because you don't know where that information, be it factual, whether it came from a good source or a demonic source.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, did I send you that clip of L.A. Marzulli saying something similar?
Yeah,
all right. Yeah, sure do.
Let's say Arizona audit comes out and the state flips. Massive voter fraud. Here's the proof. We did the audit. Let's say other states follow us. So Arizona flips and it goes to Trump. And the Kim Clement prophecy, oh, you can't say that on YouTube, LA. There's no such thing as prophecy. Yes, there is. The Kim Clement prophecy of two presidents, which was, you know, he stated that years before any of this happened, literally. And I've seen the clip. It's a little edgy. I get it. But the supernatural is always edgy. Did Kim Clement receive a word from the Lord? Is he prophesying? It's so quick how some of these guys stand up and go, oh, Kim Clement's a false prophet, blah, 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 blah. Is he? He talked about having two presidents. So let's say Arizona flips. So now we have two presidents circling back to Kim Clement. Now what? now what? Think about that.
Yeah, well, I've thought about that. And even if Kim Clement had struck upon something, that doesn't make him any truer than the stigmatist with the Y on her chest.
Yeah. And L.A. Marzulli, he's way out. I talk about somebody that's out there in outer space. He sure is.
Well, you know, a lot. He's very popular in prophecy, you know, Bible prophecy circles. And, you know, but Kim Clement, I have a whole chapter of him in my book, The Fleecing of Christianity, just to show how he will use signs of the zodiac and things like that to prophesy
yeah.
to people. Of course,
yeah.
you know, he's passed away. But in his autobiography called Call Me Crazy, But I'm Hearing God, he describes how he had this gift from the time he was a child, when the local shaman in South Africa, where he was growing up, you know, laid claims on him and prophesied over him when it was a shaman. And on page 61 of that book, he writes, "You don't always have to make things happen. Sometimes you just have to let things happen. The law of attraction will draw people to you. The law of attraction is the light of tomorrow, God. So
wow.
Kim Clement's God is the law of attraction, which happens to be the God of the occult book called The Secret.
Yeah, yeah.
And the law of attraction, and I brought this out before, is also mentioned in a book written by Manly P. Hall as the law of attraction, and he identifies it as Lucifer. In his book, The Initiates of the Flame. And so how is that? That's how Kim Clement refers to his God. And Kim Clement also in this book says that you don't have to be right every time to be a true prophet.
Yeah,
so,
well, L.A.
Marzulli.
He's way out there. I don't believe that whole Nephilim, where the angels came and they made babies. Like, there's no blood. You don't have any organs in heaven. There's no marriage in heaven. And Satan is not a creator. So Satan cannot create human organs on an angel. So then all of a sudden he comes to earth, and then he's got blood surging through his veins, and then he goes and has babies. The whole story, it's not true. And so I did a program about it, and I think I mentioned his name. So anyway, he emails me, this is a few years ago, and he says, "I have books I can send you." And I said, "Look, I don't want your books. I have the Bible, and I believe the Bible. So there's no such thing as angels making children. It just cannot happen." And so then he writes it back, and he starts telling me off. And I'm like, you know, that goes to show you somebody's Christianity, because we have to be able to accept criticism. And when we're wrong, we're wrong. And just because if somebody says something to me like, "Susan, you're wrong about that," and I can prove it through scripture, okay, I'll take a look at it. If you can prove it to me through scripture, I'll take a look at it. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to repent. I'm not going to tell you off because I'm wrong. But these people, he went crazy.
Well, it's interesting because that fits into ufology, because in ufology, they have the women being abducted and seeded with the seed of these aliens. You see, that's part of their worldview, this UFO worldview, how, you know, we were planted here from these aliens from another planet. And certainly those things aren't factual, but this folklore that's coming through these, you know, through these people who are, you know, meditating and ended up in the heavenlies somewhere and getting this information from these deceiving spirits, this
that's
is part of the deception.
It.
It's the deception.
And look at how can they write volumes, like people like Tom Horn and Marzulli, they write volumes about this subject. How could you get so much material from one scripture in Genesis that you took out of context? And then they reference the book of Enoch, and they say that this is relevant, when the book of Enoch, you can look it up and see that the occultists, they love this book. People in the occult love this book. So what does it have to do with Christianity? So, but you can see that a lot of these people that are into the occult, they can write and write and write and write about one subject and just go on and on and on about something that they could really say in a few paragraphs. But the devil gives them this information, and then they want to feed it. They want to spoon feed it to Christians. Like, we're supposed to believe these fables, cunningly devised fables that are making these people very wealthy while they're deceiving people.
It's the same deception, but dressed differently. That's it for the Christians. And then for the secular people, it's these UFOs. And for the occultists, it's the New Age ideas. And so it's all the same thing with just different, you know, vocabulary. That's all. But these are doctrines of demons that the Bible says we are not ignorant of his schemes, and that there are doctrines of devils. And we see them, and they're just dressed up in different outer coverings to somehow appeal to everybody. But, you know, the devil's doctrines are pretty consistent, and they have been throughout history.
There's a question here, Jackie, so if you want to answer, it says, Jackie, do you believe the sons of God were fallen angels that impregnated women?
That opens up a whole nother thing, and no, I don't.
And no, I even, know you don't, but he wants to know.
I know. But even my theory of it is not orthodox, and I think I think that as far as those things go, the theory that is orthodox is that the sons of Cain were not in the line as the sons of Seth, or is that the Adam? In other words, Adam had a good son and a bad son, and the offspring of the bad son versus the offspring of his good sons, and joining together, that God would reject the one group and be with the others as far as following down through the line that the Messiah ends up coming through.
Yeah,
and so
but you're
I
not
think
talking
that,
about fallen angels.
No. Cain wasn't a fallen angel, but Cain was absolutely rejected, and a mark was put on him, and that was that.
But anyway, if you have any questions,
speculative.
If you have any questions, you can look Jackie up on Facebook or, you know, message her, and she'll talk to her about it. But I just wanted to clear that up, because I know you didn't believe that. So
no, because they can't. Angels cannot. The Bible says, you know, we'll be like angels, never marrying or given in marriage.
Exactly.
Which means they can't.
They can't procreate. No, they can't reproduce.
Right.
No, they can't have babies, and they don't have blood. Spirits don't have blood. You can't
Cain's
not a creator. He doesn't create things
body
parts.
But
I do think for fallen angels.
I do think Cain and his offspring back then were under a curse, and that I believe is what fits in with this.
Okay, so anyway, like I said, if you wanted to ask her about that, you can message her. She's got a public Facebook page, and you can talk to her about that. But anyway, let's play this clip about Tucker
mm-hmm.
Carlson. Now, what's up with Tucker? Here's Tucker's take.
So for a couple of years now, we've done regular segments on UFOs, because there is a lot of evidence that maybe there's something to this thing. And then in the space of the last month or two, we've been drowned with evidence. By the way, on Sunday we learned, no big deal, that UFOs have been flying into restricted airspace off the coast of Virginia every day for years. We learned this Sunday night in 60 Minutes. One former Navy commander, David Fravor, said he witnessed a UFO flying over the Pacific Ocean in November of 2004.
Yeah, he's been doing this for 2 weeks now, having different people who supposedly, you know, saw the Roswell crash back in the day and that kind of stuff. And again, he's following, He's following the breadcrumbs to the same place where they're trying now to change the whole worldview of the planet. And then it's all coinciding with more sightings of these things in the sky. And so many of them take on a different look. If you look up MUFON, M-U-F-O-N on YouTube and see, oh, these, look at this UFO and that one, they come in all shapes and sizes. The UFOs are shape shifters. They, you know, and so many of them are these lights. And again, you look back and see that Satan comes as an angel of light. And then his messengers are messengers of righteousness, or they look like it because that they're his messengers. And all this thing comes down to light. Remember, Jesus saw Satan coming down to earth as a stroke of lightning. Okay. So there's precedence in the Bible for seeing these for these lights. Okay. Put it that way. But then when they look metallic, no two look alike. In fact, they have all these MUFON has all these designations of this shape UFO, this one, the motherships, the one coming out of it. I mean, you might as well be watching Star Trek or Star Wars. And yet
exactly. They
are feeding that to the public because those who will not accept the truth are going to believe in the lie. And I think that's the biggest lie going, and it's heating up.
Let's finish with this one. This is a good clip here from Glenn Beck. It should be starting soon. Hopefully not. I guess I didn't take the front part off when I was. Let's give it a few more seconds.
The people that were there, when we went into the Colosseum, the arena, and that was electric. I heard from so many people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys heard this or felt this, but the people I talked to that had gone to all of our events said by far this was the most impactful event that we have ever done.
I heard that many times.
I think we are at the beginning. I flew back with David Barton yesterday, and David said, just matter-of-factly, he said, we're in the awakening. And I said, I leaned up and I said, wait a minute, hold on, what did you just say? And he said, we're in the awakening. And I said, the third great awakening? And he said, oh yeah, I truly believe it's happening now. That's great. That is great. He's the one who told me about the Great Awakening. It's like, we need the Great Awakening to happen. And we had people from all different faiths walking together.
Yeah.
All different. I mean, I marched with, you know that famous picture of the Woolworths lunch counter and the guy sitting at the lunch counter? Clarence Henderson is one of the guys that was sitting at that counter. I found out, I was giving a speech, I don't remember, one of the 18 speeches I gave this weekend, and I think it was at the Guiding Light Church, and somebody came up to me right before and said, that guy, you know who he is? And I'm like, no. He's like, he was the 18-year-old kid at the lunch counter in the 1960s, and showed me the picture, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've seen that picture in our history books all the time.
Wow.
And he was the guy who marched next to me. He is the nicest guy. I said, why are you doing this? He said, because a friend of mine told me, he comes from Greensboro, North Carolina, and he drove down by himself to go. And I said, what made you do this? He said, it's time. It's just time. We have to come together or we're going to tear each other apart.
Yeah, that's the Mormon, Glenn Beck.
Yeah, well, the thing that was interesting is that David Barton saying that we're in the awakening. We're not in the awakening, no.
No. Well, then they're all looking for the awakening. And part of what David Barton is saying, he's been on Andrew Womack's program. He's been on Jim Baker's. And he and his son Tim are just doing the rounds promoting their latest book or whatever.
Yeah, promoting their book. And he's raising up his son to take his place.
Right. And this great awakening, as they're saying, cannot happen until everybody's in unity. And then he's looking back at Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and all the fathers of the country, saying that they really couldn't get the Revolutionary War going or bring on any of these wonderful things without all laying down their belief systems and all just coming together just as God, you know, believing God as a foundation type of thing.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, you know, we need to do likewise in order to bring this country back around. And it's going to take this great awakening and this unity that's going to bring in this great awakening. It's going to turn this country around.
What does that sound like?
Well, like I say, it's the same message being dressed up anew again. And it is the brotherhood of man type of thing. And at least they aren't pointing to the space brother God yet, but the Pope will take care of that.
Yeah, because they want it sounds like the one world religion. It sounds like we're all going to be one.
That's it. It's another doctrine of devils, and it's recognizable no matter how they dress it.
Yeah. For those, of course, that have eyes to see and ears to hear, so we have to know what the Word of God says, so we're not deceived, and then we're drawn away by these cunningly devised fables.
Right.
Yeah, devised, and it's cunning. It's a great deception, and we have to be so careful. I think more than ever now is to there's so many voices out there, and just stick with the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, and you can't go wrong.
Well, and that's the thing. If you don't stick with the simple gospel, then you will believe the lie.
Yeah, and then you will believe the lie.
I don't recommend people do what I do as far as monitoring all this stuff day in and day out. I have kind of looked, always try to keep the balance and staying in the Word of God more than I'm spending any time looking at these deceptions and always looking at them through prayer and through praying for the mind of Christ as we look on these things, because it can take people into a dark place, especially if they get, you know, they get so much into this investigation into these things that they lose sight of Jesus, because there's a snare for everybody. And so your best defense is staying in the Word daily.
That's
you have to.
Okay, well, that's our program for today. Just have about 2.5 minutes left here. So, Jackie, tell people where they can reach you.
Look my name up on Facebook. You can find me on ChristianSentinel.com. And I need to write something about it. I need to write all these things down. It's probably going to be my next article, because I do. Our title is, you know, this Christian Sentinels where faith meets investigative reporting, and that's pretty much what I need to do with this and get it all down on in writing. So
yeah, well, it's good to know. It's really good to know, because there's so many people putting this out for now. But anyway. Thanks for coming on, Jackie. Great program today.
My pleasure,
as always.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless you.
Thank you. You too.
All right, everybody. That's our show for today. And the most important thing is to remember that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you might be saying, Susan, what's going on? But there is one person that we can depend on. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to give us a brand new life. We can be born again, and we can have peace, and we can have hope. No matter what's going on in the world, we know we have a Savior that can save us and redeem us. And there's no other way to get peace and joy except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, everybody. Everybody in the chat room, I appreciate all your comments and your questions. And if you have any other questions, you can email me, susan@propheticnews.com. Okay? Thanks for stopping by, everybody. And all our listeners around the world, thank you for listening. And God bless you. Stay safe, okay? And be blessed.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the rock.
could be